Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Diet culture has insinuated itself into our culture. It is pervasive and sometimes sneaky. As we enter into the unofficial start of summer, you will undoubtedly hear words like beach body, or even more insidious, your diet. You'll hear about diet culture wrapped in a package described as wellness and health. Studies have shown that people in bigger bodies often don't receive the health care they need because when they get in front of some health care professionals, their weight becomes the focus. Come in for a cough, get weighed first. Now add to the mix, if you are a person of color, especially a woman of color, you have to contend with race and gender bias. Dahlia Kinsey is a registered dietitian. Actually, the first line of her bio reads, "Dahlia Kinsey is a queer Black registered dietitian." Dahlia is deliberate about that description. Dahlia is also the author of Decolonizing Wellness, a QT BIPOC-centered guide to escape the diet trap, heal your self-image, and achieve body liberation. Dahlia Kinsey, welcome to All of It.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. How have you navigated body image issues? Have you had the experience of trying to see a doctor for a specific purpose, only to be told by the doctor that you need to address your weight? How have you found a way to be heard? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. You can also reach out to us on Instagram and Twitter. Same handle for both, at All of It WNYC. We want to hear from you. How have you navigated body image issues? So, Dahlia, would you explain what you mean when you say decolonizing when it comes to wellness?
Even though the term decolonizing could mean something connected to land back, which is more profound in a different conversation. In the context of the book, I'm talking about decentering whiteness and heterosexuality, because those norms that are put on virtually all of us, because a lot of these things we see in the West, it's everywhere because colonization happened almost all over the planet. So that's why we see a lot of the same norms as far as what is considered the ideal type of human. And the ideal human body for years, the story has been, is able-bodied, cis, white, and male. And if you are not those things, then there's a hierarchy there. And the amount of disrespect you experience from day to day just gets worse and worse the further away you get away from that mythic ideal.
What do you think wellness means in 2022, and what would you like it to mean?
By and large, it still means the pursuit of thinness. Diet culture is so pervasive that there are a lot of healthcare providers that do not question fat phobia and do not question obsessively focusing on the body in a way that centers that one idealized type of body. And because of that, when you go to places that you should be able to rely on for evidence-based information, what you get is diet culture and fat phobia. And so many times, even when the research indicates that chronically dieting is doing nothing but harm, people ignore that because it doesn't fit with all the other narratives they're used to hearing. But also, when there are studies that encourage fat phobia, no one questions the role that bias plays in research. Ideally, the scientific method shouldn't be influenced by the world in which these studies are conducted, but that's not realistic. That's not how humans function. Being biased affects the questions that you even ask when it comes to research. And what funding there is available for research is also going to be influenced by the surrounding culture. So it really, at this point, is mostly just the pursuit of thinness. But in reality, if you look at people you know in your own life that have led long, happy lives that somehow managed to escape that obsessive focus on the body, wellness is connecting with other human beings on a regular basis. It's feeling like you belong. It's being seen. It's listening to your body. It's feeling like your body is your own.
I wanted to go back and dig out a little piece of something you said. You talked about bias even in the way questions are asked. Would you give an example?
This is something that came up ad nauseum while I was in school, and it used to drive me crazy. When there was research about, let's say, something like a public health behavior that they wanted to encourage among African-American women or people assigned female at birth, the question would be, how do we get these folks to understand the value of breastfeeding, for example, rather than asking, why aren't people breastfeeding? Could there be environmental factors at play? Even during COVID in the early days, I wish I remembered the name of the person who said this, but this was some political official. I'm just minding my own business, watching the news at home, when he sincerely asked, why are Black people having a worse time in response to COVID? Are they not washing their hands? Are they not clean? Is this a sanitation issue? He wasn't trying to be funny. He wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but his perception of Black people, that's his question. So if he was in charge of some public health effort to improve health outcomes related to COVID for African Americans, he might start with some campaign to teach Black folks to wash their hands, which I guarantee you is not the problem. But that shows you right there how disconnected some people are from what types of systemic problems are affecting health outcomes of marginalized people.
My guest is Dalia Kinsey. The name of the book is Decolonizing Wellness. We want to hear from you. How have you navigated body image issues? Have you had the experience of seeing a healthcare professional for a specific purpose only to have the focus turned to your weight? Please give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or you can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at @OlivetWNYC. Please, Team Olivet, join the conversation. 212-433-WNYC. Dalia, you take aim at diet culture in the book, all things diet culture, shame about eating, overliving in a larger body, equating worthiness with thinness. What are the consequences for allowing diet culture to go unchallenged?
It encourages people to be distrustful of their own internal signals. And it encourages them to think that the only way to be well, it's going to be something prescriptive that someone else can advise them on. When in reality, your body is your best resource when it comes to what you need to change to function at an optimal level, whatever that is for you. It also makes people who fall outside of that norm a lot of times that I mentioned earlier, of able-bodied, straight, cis, white, het, male, to think that there is no room for them to be well that doesn't involve assimilation and erasure of identities. And because a sense of belonging and a sense of comfort with your full self is a key component to wellness, that is incredibly harmful. And in all the time that I have spent in and around healthcare, on both sides of the table as a patient, as a provider, I never had anyone outside of one really good therapist give me any hint that maybe systemic oppression was affecting my wellness and that maybe not everything that wasn't going right with my mental state and my body was something that was my fault. When you criticize people for things that they don't have direct control over, that also takes away any sense of autonomy you have, any sense that you can influence the course of your life and the course of your wellness. So if you're repeatedly told, it's all about individual responsibility, just watch those calories more, and you don't really share the truth of how little control you have over your weight in the end, it is so discouraging. And if you already hold marginalized identities, the last thing you need is to feel any less powerful in your life and any more distrustful of your natural impulses. Queer folks are told day in and day out from birth, it feels like sometimes, that the way that they intuitively feel called to love is unacceptable. So already, if you've been socialized to think that homophobia is actually the standard and that being heterosexual is normal and everything else is deviant, you already on some level have trouble trusting yourself. And you may find yourself, oh, I'm sorry, you were about to say something.
No, you know, please continue thought and then I've got a great caller.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, when you add diet culture on top of that, that's yet another influence telling you, you don't know what you're doing. You don't even know how to feed yourself. You can't trust yourself. And you've already received that message enough.
Let's talk to Lee calling in on line two, calling in from Manhattan. Hey, Lee, thank you so much for calling all of it and joining the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us about your experience.
So I struggled with an eating disorder in my teen years, and I got treatment for it. And then I discovered wellness, and I didn't realize it, but I was engaging in diet culture and disordered eating and stuck in this yo-yo world of cleanses and trying to find balance and using, you know, self-love and all this jargon to try to find balance and love myself. And I was an Instagram influencer actually with hundreds and thousands of followers, and I was promoting all of these you know, gluten-free diet, dairy-free diet, and I didn't even need to be on any of those, and I didn't even realize that I was engaging in diet culture until I hit an emotional and mental bottom myself. And I've been on the anti-diet culture for 3 years now, and it is not easy because we live in a world, especially in, I live in Manhattan, it's everywhere. It's so pervasive, and it just keeps, you know, disguising itself as something else. So I was just really moved by the conversation today.
Lee, I really appreciate you calling in. Really do. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Dahlia, I just, any response to what Lee offered?
Yeah, I love that transparency, because that is such an easy trap to fall in. And it's easy to feel embarrassed or ashamed when you essentially get scammed. But like Lee explained, it is everywhere. So it's almost impossible to not get scammed. And the way people keep repackaging the same harmful thing, it's so easy to think this is different. And the pursuit of worthiness, this is something that almost everyone is called to do, because almost everyone is socialized to think something's wrong with them on some level. It's always something. Even if you hold a lot of dominant culture identities or identities of privilege, almost no one is told the way you are is okay. There's always something for you to change. And people assigned female at birth in particular are trained to dedicate almost all of their time to being acceptable. And whatever the world is saying at the moment, those are the rules that you follow. And so wellness has definitely, it's been hijacked. And a lot of the restriction, like I love that she specifically mentioned gluten-free. If you have celiac disease, of course, you should be gluten-free. However, encouraging the entire population to be afraid of food and to be afraid of just eating what feels right to them, that is not of service to anyone. And yes, that's absolutely just diet culture in disguise.
Let's take Joy calling in from Rockland County. Hi, Joy. Thanks for calling all of us.
Hi. I just recently had an operation, and in my portal, the first thing that pops up is morbid obesity. Now, I'm only just hitting the 40 BMI, and I'm about a size 20, but I'm short, 5 feet. So, and COVID actually threw me just into that. I know that I'm obese, and I told the doctor, I said, you know, this is a serious surgery. I said, but I think a person could feel more like they're going to die because it says morbid obesity. Yet it doesn't even let you concentrate on the rest of you to bring yourself to health.
Joy, thank you for calling in. We had someone else who mentioned BMI. They said she went to get a tooth extraction, and instead of talking about my teeth, the dentist was talking about his weight loss program and figured out my BMI via a program on his cell phone and handed me a pamphlet about stomach stapling. I threw out the pamphlet. this BMI issue that, you know, it has been challenged for a long time, though it became a proxy for health. Dahlia, how did that happen, and what's being done to unravel that?
Well, there's so many. Honestly, I don't see enough being done to unravel that. There are a lot of people who initially, in the early days of the body positivity movement, it was being led by people who had more of an intersectional lens and were looking at all the ways in which bodies are not allowed to just be. But like we see happening with a lot of major social movements, it usually gets hijacked and watered down. And so a lot of the momentum that we were seeing, I'm not seeing as much anymore. And in healthcare, you can see it even in professional spaces, or like on LinkedIn, which, you know, isn't professional every day, the visceral energy that people will come at you with if you imply that this is an irrelevant part of a health assessment. Because if you don't have an intervention to modify the issue, mm-hmm. what you're claiming is an issue is weight. There is no intervention with scientific backing available for permanent weight moderation. So if there's no answer, then why are you even bringing it up? If someone comes in with blue eyes, do you point out to them that they have blue eyes? It is what it is. If someone's tall, they're tall. If someone's short, they're short. If someone's fat, they're fat. What did the person actually come into the office for? Could you focus on that? It is something that we've already documented and seen, that client-centered visits are more effective. So if your client comes in and they didn't say they wanted to talk about their weight, why are you talking about the weight? But at some hospitals and some institutions, in defense of the people who work there, sometimes that's literally part of the policy, that if you document a BMI above 30, you have to document that you counseled the person on their weight. So it's not necessarily that the provider is fat phobic. Maybe they're just doing the best they can in the container that they're in. But we also want to think about when people even started using BMI as a measure of wellness. This was back when white supremacy culture wasn't even being questioned a little bit. And all of this is centered on a very Eurocentric way of understanding what is a good body, what is an acceptable body. And you see an uptick in obsession on body size, especially put on people assigned female at birth around the time of the transatlantic slave trade. Because race isn't actually something that you can link to any other physical trait. So it essentially is a social construct. Mm-hmm. But since it's been reinforced for so much, the consequences of being racialized or being labeled as a certain race, they're very real. But it is more an environmental thing, not actually a biological thing that we're seeing happening. So one of the things that people started to do is they wanted to justify crimes against humanity / enslaving other human beings was to say, well, they're not really human, or at least they're not human like us. And one of the ways that people started to try and make distinctions between white folks and folks of color was body size, mm-hmm. and that emphasis on being able to control the size of the body through extreme restriction, mind you.
The name of the book is Decolonizing Wellness. I want to thank our callers who have called in and were quite candid. Also want to thank Dahlia Kinsey, registered dietitian. The name of the book is Decolonizing Wellness, the QT BIPOC-centered guide to escape the diet trap, heal your self-image, and achieve body liberation. There are some great exercises in the book and really good questions people can ask themselves so they can enjoy their bodies. Dahlia, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.